Look in 1 Kings chapter 18 and look in verse 21. And Elijah came unto all the people and said, how long halt you between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow Him. But if Baal, then follow Him. And the people answered him not a word. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning. We thank you for this wonderful day that you've given us. And that to come and be in your house, just gather together with your people. Lord, if there's somebody here lost, I pray that you would deal with their heart and that about salvation. To come and get saved today, where there would be a new creation, a new creature in you. And Lord, we thank you for making us new all over again when we got saved. And things became different. Lord, we ask now while we preach, we pray that you might touch us and anoint us afresh. For we certainly need your touch and your help this morning. God, we just need you to come by and guard our mind and our thoughts and give us the words that these dear people need to hear today. Lord, I pray you'd keep distractions far away, keep the devil at bay while we preach. And Lord, save somebody, help somebody, encourage somebody. And we'll give the glory for it all. And I ask you to save that sinner that's nearest to you. For these things in Jesus' name, we do ask and do pray. Amen. And amen, you be seated this morning. A lot of us know this story right here of what is taking place. It has not rained and that now for the space of 3.5 years in the land of Israel. Because Elijah has prayed that it might not rain. And God is bringing judgment and that upon the nation of Israel because of their sin and that of idolatry. And so we find right here that it has come time and that for a showdown. They're on top of Mount Carmel. And Elijah has gathered all the people, according to verse 21, to gather on Mount Carmel. And he asked them a question. He said, how long halt you between two opinions? He said, if the Lord be God, then follow Him. But if Baal, then follow him. And if you read the rest of the story, you'll find that the prophets of Baal, they cried from morning till evening, and Baal, and that would not answer by fire. You find that the time of the evening sacrifice, that Elijah rebuilt the altar of God on Mount Carmel, prayed 63 words, and that to a God that's in heaven, and God answered by fire, licked up the sacrifice, licked up the water that was poured upon the sacrifice, licked up the rocks and that was around the sacrifice. I believe God is the God that we ought to serve and that today. Amen. But I want to look, having a thought, what he was telling them over here. He said, how long halt you between two opinions? He said, if God be God, serve Him. If Baal be God, serve Him. And that's what I want to preach on today, is in making your choice. He was telling them, you need to make a choice. Let me say quickly by introduction today that if you're unsaved, friend, you've got a choice that's sitting in front of you. The greatest decision that you'll ever have is entrusting Jesus to be your Savior. Entrusting Jesus to come into your heart and save you eternally and make you a fit subject for heaven. Friend, where you don't have to die and go to hell. Why do you think he said in Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28 when he said, come unto me, all you that are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Listen today. I want you to understand you can. You say, well, people say, well, we talk about choosing Christ, but it's really Him that chose us. I understand that. But friend, what I'm trying to get you to see is you have got a decision in front of you. You can walk out that door lost and undone without Jesus, or you can get saved. About that man that Brother Aaron sung about, that when he went to Calvary, when he hung on the old rugged cross and died for my sin and your sin alike, hey, you can choose Him. You can come to Him. The one that took your place, you can get saved today, man. Let me say, it does not matter what you've done. It does not matter who you are. It does not matter about any of those things. You can get saved. The Bible said in the book of John, I believe it is, he said that he in no wise cast out. Thank God today, it don't matter who you are. You can come. If you're good, you can come. But I want you to understand, Romans 3 and 10 said there's none that doeth good. There's none that seeketh after God. Listen, don't matter how bad you are. Thank God you can come and get saved. You know, the Apostle Paul said that it was by the grace of God that he got saved. Amen. Out of everything that he done, he murdered the church, persecuted the church, and God still saved him. Amen. Thank God for that. But you've got a decision in front of you today. Deuteronomy chapter 30. They're fixing to go over into the promised land. Moses has yet to go up to Mount Nebo and be hugged to death and smothered by God. I believe that's what Big Jim Seaton used to say. He'd say, God got Moses up there on Mount Nebo and just hugged up on him so much that he just pressed all the air out of him and took him. I think that's a pretty good way. Amen. Hey, Moses was 120 years old when he got up there on Mount Nebo. His natural forces were not abated. The Bible said, nor his eyes dim. You know what that means? Moses was just as strong and he saw just as much at 120 as he did at 40 years old. Boy, if I live to be 120, I hope it's that way. Amen. I believe the Lord's going to come before I reach 120. Don't you today? Amen. I believe Jesus is coming again. Amen. I want you to understand something. If you're lost, you can get saved. Deuteronomy 30. See, I've set before you this day life and good and death and evil. That's what's before you today. Is life and good and death and evil. You need to come and get saved. But that ain't what I'm going to preach on today. Listen, and make a new choice. He said, how long? Halt you between two opinions. I want to preach having a thought today. And that dealing with our flesh and with our spirit today. Your flesh, you've got to make a decision every morning that you get up out of bed or every evening whenever you get up. You've got to make a decision what you're going to follow and who you're going to follow. Now, I know we make those decisions and we say, I'm going to follow the Lord and I'm going to follow what He wants, and that's good. You need to. And I need to do those things. But you need to understand that, friend, that a lot of times people and that halt between two opinions. What that means, we get stopped and there's two opinions in front of us and we're trying to choose both of them. I believe that's what's taking place right here with the nation of Israel. I know they're worshiping Baal, but I also believe that they're trying to work in some kind of worship and back to the God of heaven, but it was not a true worship. Listen, I want you to understand that, first of all, number one, that whoever you feed, whether it is your flesh or your spiritual man, that's who's going to win. And you need to understand, first of all, that your flesh is a problem. I'm talking about this thing. Some of you are looking at me, man, I wish he'd preach on Jesus some more. As you know where this thing's fixing to go. Listen, this thing is my enemy. I understand I've got an adversary in the devil. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, one of my sheep, whom he may devour. I understand I got him. And I understand the world is against us. I would wish that we weren't even here and they could go on and do what they want to do. And bless God, I'll tell you one day, there's coming a day when they're going to get their wish. Amen. The church will be raptured out and the world will get what they want. But by then it'll be too late. Amen. But listen, your flesh is not only a problem, but it's the problem with us. Galatians 5:17, the Apostle Paul said it like this. He said, for the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary, the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. Now, I believe the devil is my adversary. I believe that I fight him from day to day. I believe that I see him every now and again, and he comes to bother me. But I'm going to be honest with you, church. My flesh is what gives me my problem. My flesh wants what it wants,
It wants to go where it wants to go. It wants to do what it wants to do. It wants to say what it wants to say. It wants to eat what it wants to eat. It wants to do everything that the inner man don't want it to do. My wife began to tell me a story the other night. And I got angry. She said, "You're mad." I wasn't mad. I said, "Dogs get mad. People get angry." And I hadn't been angry in a long, long time. But I got angry. And it was all that I could do to keep me under control. I'll be honest with you. I was having a tough time to keep the old man from running up. I wanted to say some things that I knew not to her. And I had to stop in the middle of my angry rant and say, "I'm not mad at you." She's just the one that told me the story. And so I had to stop, and then I got back on my angry rant again. Now, I kept it under control, but boy, my flesh sure wanted to say some things and sure wanted to do some things that it hadn't wanted to do in a long time. Ain't that amazing how our flesh will just rire up on us out of the blue? I was probably 17 or 18 years old. Now, I'm going to tell you how the flesh works. I was probably 17 or 18 years old the last time that I had a dip of snuff put in between my lip and my gum. And I remember that I went to eat with somebody. I was probably in my mid-30s at this time. So it had been probably 17. 27, almost 20 years since I'd had a dip of snuff in my mouth. And I remember getting out of the truck after going and eating a greasy old hamburger. And I remember stepping out on the ground and walking around the back of the truck. And I thought to myself, "Man, it would be good to have a dip of snuff right now." 20 years that I hadn't had that in my mouth. And I thought, where did that come from? Where did that come from? My flesh remembered some things, you see. See, your flesh is your enemy. And see, did you put one in? No, I didn't put it in. I shook it off. I thought, "Man, where'd that come from?" But you know what I could have done? I was around people dipping snuff. I could have went and found one. Take your Bible and go to the book of Romans chapter 7. It's getting exciting, ain't it? We'll get there. Don't worry. Say, "What's all this about the flesh?" You'll see. Just hold on a minute. Romans chapter 7, look in verse 18. Now, I'm talking about our flesh is our enemy, and it is against us. And if you let it have its way, see, I'm going somewhere. If you let it have its way, it's going to ruin you. And here's the thing about the flesh. It will ruin itself to have a good time. Well, think about that for a minute. Folk know, well, let me just use drugs as an example. Folk knows that putting that stuff into their body is not that good. As a matter of fact, it is bad. But to get the high that they want, they'll still shoot up on it, knowing that it is damaging their body. Your sin's the same way. We know that what we're going to do is not going to be good. I'm talking about God's people right now. Because see, if you're lost, you can't control your flesh. Your flesh is going to win. Every time, as a matter of fact, if you go look in the book of 2 Timothy, it can be taken captive at any time at the will of Satan, you see. Go read your Bible. But look in Romans chapter 7. Here stands the Apostle Paul, the greatest apostle that there probably ever was, and the only one that there was to the nation of the Gentiles. He said, "For I know that is in me, that is in my flesh." He's talking about his body. He said, "Dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now, if I do that, I would not. It is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me." He said, in my flesh, you realize when you got saved, your body did not get saved.
That's why we take that body and plant it back out in the ground when you die. That thing didn't get saved. My flesh is not saved. And boy, I'm glad I ain't going to heaven in this body, because I hate it. Look what he said. It's no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, here's a law, just like the law of gravity, that when I do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. He said, look, there's sin in my flesh. It wars against the law of my mind. It wars against the spirit that is inside of me, that God has given me. Paul said, that's what wars with one another. Why do you think there is a struggle inside? Do you not struggle? He said, preacher, I got this thing with. I've got it figured out. Bless your heart. I hope you do, but I'm going to tell you, you've already set yourself up for defeat. If you think you had whipped your flesh and got it under control, man, you've already lost, friend. I'm not better than you are. Hey, listen, that's why I'm very careful to tell you how to live your life except according to the Bible and pleasing unto the Heavenly Father and Jesus who loved you and saved you. I'm very careful because, friend, I struggle enough by keeping me straight. Why? I'm in the same flesh you are. Same problems, same thoughts. Look what he said. Warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. Look at what Paul said. Oh, wretched man that I am. Paul knew what he was in his flesh. That's what he's talking about. His flesh. He said, who shall deliver me from this body of death? And he gives us the answer in verse 25. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. It's Jesus that helps us with our flesh. It's the Lord who can help us and that mortify and subdue our flesh and bring it in subjection to Him. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. We don't want nobody to tell our flesh what to do. We don't even want to tell our flesh what to do. Our flesh wants to tell us what to do. It wants to be pampered. It wants its desires fulfilled. It wants it to be made to feel good. I dare say some of you come in here looking for a feel-good message this morning. Well, you got let down, didn't you? It not only wants to feel good, it wants to look good. You do. Hold on a minute, God call. You do want to look good, don't you? I do. But I want to go around my hair sticking up. But come church the other night, was it on Wednesday night? And my wife, she's sitting over there, maybe it was Sunday, I don't know, Sunday night, I don't remember when it was. But she said, did you not even comb your hair before you left the house? She said, man, your hair's sticking up everywhere in the back. So she's over there doing that wife thing. And just trying to put it down, doing that mama thing, you know, what you mamas do with kids. And you know, that's something that I've learned, that we'll even let our flesh be deceived to let it get what it wants. Just so that it can have its way. It wants its way. And it'll direct us in carnal things. But did you know that in the flesh, we cannot please God? I'm talking about your body. Now, stay with me right here. I'm being very vague on a lot of things. But your flesh likes sin. But see, the reason you can't enjoy it is because there's somebody on the inside of you that's screaming the whole time you're trying to enjoy sin. If you can enjoy sin for more than just a short period of time, there's something wrong.
Friend, you didn't get the same salvation that I got. You didn't get saved like the Bible. Hey, the Bible said, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. And behold, all things have become new. Hey, Ephesians 1 said that he gave us the earnest of the Spirit that resides within inside of us. Hey, the Holy Spirit's on the inside. And he's what hollers and screams when we're doing wrong. Bible said in Romans 8, so then they that are in the flesh cannot please God, but you're not in the flesh. But if the Spirit, he said, but you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. He said, now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his, and if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. So when we get saved, we are to mortify the flesh. We're to bring it under subjection and back to the Word of God itself. Romans 8 said, for if we live after the flesh, we shall die. You know, the wages of sin is death. Do you know that just don't talk about for lost people? The wages of sin is death. You ever seen saved people get messing around in sin? And they refuse to get out of it. What's it do to them? It kills them. I've got a friend of mine, a preacher friend, and he's got a younger brother. And his younger brother ain't but 10 months younger than he is. And I was talking to him the other day on the phone, and boy, they've had some bad family trouble. And he was telling me about his brother. Now, I mean, his brother's a dope addict, and I mean, this fella at one time announced his call to preach, and that's between him and God. I don't know about all that. But I know he told me, that my preacher friend, he said, I got to see him the other day. They'd had him in jail, and I mean, it's just a mess. But he said, Mark, he said, my brother looks older than me and you both. And here's what I said. I said, that is why the Bible says that the ways of a transgressor is hard. It'll make you older than what you can ever begin to think about. And friend, you know what will happen? If you want to keep on messing around in sin, listen, go over to the book of Little John, and you'll find that there is a sin under that. And I believe God will just go ahead and snuff you on out and take you on out of here. That's what Paul was talking about in 1 Corinthians chapter 5. When they would not deal with that sin of fornication in the church, Paul said, I've already dealt with it. You need to deal with it. Said, turn that flesh over to Satan that once it's destroyed, the spirit can be saved during the day of Jesus Christ. But there has to be a mortification. What's that mean? Of the flesh. To mortify something means to make part of it dead while the other part is still alive. So in Colossians 3, he said, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. Romans talks about our members. Paul talks about our members. Colossians talks about our members. He's talking about your flesh. He says, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, covetousness, which is idolatry. When we choose our flesh, then we have lost spiritually. You cannot pick both of them at the same time. You cannot choose to serve you and God at the same. You know how that would work? Let me say this. There is one time when you could serve you and God at the same time, and that's when you have decided to follow God. That's it. He said we must mortify our flesh. Let me ask you something. How many of us wanted to lay in bed and not come this morning? Well, even I wanted to do that. You say, well, preacher, you had to come and teach Sunday school and preach this morning. Sure I did. But my flesh still wanted to do what it wanted to do. Your flesh wanted to do what it wanted to do. Some of you wives and husbands might have been fighting this morning. Why? Because you all wanted to do what you wanted to do. That's why I always say that Sunday mornings is the hardest time to preach, because if you ain't careful, mom and daddy, husband and wife will come in here and you all been bickering about trying to get to church on time, and you still couldn't get here on time. You're still bickering and fighting. And then you come in here and expect to worship God. I told you I give up on fighting with my wife on Sunday morning years ago. She's figured it out. She knows that if she ain't going to be on time, she looks at me and says, "You just need to go on." So you know what I do? I gather my Bible up, I get my suit coat on, or on its hanger, and I go get in the truck, and I come to church without her. And she'll get here when she gets here. Ain't that what we do? I mean, it makes our house so much happier when we do things like that. Man, I'm just being honest. You try to figure some things out along the way. But our flesh. You say, well, what does that matter if our inner man is in there and right? I'm going to preach on this tonight if God will be our helper. But take your Bible and go to the book of 1 Samuel. Stay with me. 1 Samuel, is it 16? 1 Samuel 16, I preached this when we preached on modesty. That series of sermons on modesty. Look in verse 7. 1 Samuel, chapter 16 and verse 7. Here he is, and like I say, if the Lord will help us, we'll deal with this passage tonight. But Samuel has went to anoint David to be king over Israel. He didn't know it was going to be David at that time. And so when Eliab comes by, he thought, surely that's the man. Verse 7, but the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him, for the Lord seeth not as man seeth. Now watch, pay attention, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. Well, see, preacher, the Lord looks on the heart, and that's all that matters. You missed the whole thing right there. What did he say? For man looketh on the outward appearance. Do you know there's somebody watching you? You say, well, it shouldn't matter what I do as long as I'm pleasing to God. Well, we'll just deal with that then. But you know there is people looking at you, and they can't see your heart. All they can see is what your outward man is showing. And all they can do is take a Bible, a King James Bible, all they can do is take it and compare it and say, here's what the Bible says, here's what they're doing. People says, well, you're judging. Well, of course I'm judging. But I'm not judging. The Scripture is making the judgment. Here's one lesson that I learned years ago. When the Bible has something to say about it, I'll have something to say about it. When the Bible is quiet about it, I'll be quiet about it. If you go over to the book of 1 Corinthians, you'll find that the Bible said, he that is spiritual judgeth all things. How do we make our judgment? We crack the Bible open. We begin to look at it. We begin to read it. We see what God has had to say about it. And then that's what we're supposed to do. But we make our choice. So it is either by the flesh that we are to be led, which will get us in trouble, or it is by the Spirit that leads us by the Word of God. John chapter 16, verse 13, Jesus said, howbeit when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come. He said He'll guide you into all truth. What did John say at another point? Jesus did. He said, sanctify them through Thy Word. Thy Word is truth. Where's the Holy Spirit going to direct you to? To the Word of God every time. Well, I think, or I believe it ought to be. You're wrong. It don't matter what I think. It don't matter what I believe. All that matters is what the Bible says. That's blowing some of y'all's minds this morning. A lot of times I've been around people And they'll say, well, God told me to do that. And well, the Holy Spirit led me that way. And God and the Holy Spirit wasn't no more around that than I was even around that. I'll never forget, and I told you this story one time. But there was a lady in the drugstore one time, and me and my wife, we tried to avoid her. Because it's always going to turn out bad at the end of the conversation. I'm just being honest with you. You know, there's some people that you want to avoid. I've learned my lesson on that over the years. But I got out tired of the car, and I told my wife, I said, I just don't feel good about this. I got to go back in and speak to her. And I did, and so she followed me out, and we were talking, and my wife gets out of the car and comes over there. And before we could get away, the conversation went the way that my wife knew it was going to go, bad. And so when we finally got away from her and we got back in the car, I'm on the driver's side, and my wife's sitting over here, and she looks at me, and she says, I don't think God was in none of that. You going back in there and talk to her. And I believe my wife was right. I don't think God was nowhere around that. I just feeling bad. Sometimes, friend, you got to be careful with some things about blaming God or saying God said or God did. Listen, as a preacher friend of mine, he said, man, we got meeting one time. And he said, man, God really showed up. But he said, somewhere in that meeting, God left. And we didn't quit. And he said it just turned in to a mess. Now, we got to be led by the Spirit of God and not by our flesh. Our flesh wants to feel good. But you need to understand that we are going to, if we're going to serve God, cannot be led by our flesh, but must be led and that by the Spirit of God through the Word of God. Why do you think He left us a Bible? Can I tell you today that if what you're saying is the Holy Spirit is telling you something to do something that is in direct confrontation or that is wrong with the Word of God, it ain't the Holy Spirit. I'll guarantee you that. He said He'll guide you into all truth. Now listen, as a newborn babe, 1 Peter 2:2 said, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. Listen, it is with the Bible that we take it, we read it, we begin to learn about the things of God. We learn about our flesh, that it is against us. We learn about Satan, that he is our adversary. We learn about how that we can serve God, how that it is, and I'm going to use this word loosely, fun to serve. I love serving God. Well, you're a preacher, you should. Hey, if you're saved, you ought to have a good time in serving God. It ought to overjoy you and rejoice you how to serve God and to know that you're pleasing the Heavenly Father by the way that you're living. It's through the Word of God that we learn that our flesh should not win. Peter said, as newborn babes, desire the sincere miracle of the Word that you may grow. You know, as you grow, you understand that your flesh is against you. I mean, it took me a while to understand that. It took me a while to grasp that. It took me a while to understand I need to lay some things down and lay some things aside. Get rid of some habits. Amen. To deal with some things. It took a while to understand that. You know what helped me more than anything? When I began to read my Bible. You said, did you not start reading your Bible when you got saved? Not like I should have. Man, it wasn't right away that you said, well, there should have been some. Hey, listen, I remember starting reading, but I'm talking about when I really sold out to the God that was in heaven, the one that loved me and saved me, and the God of this Bible. I'm telling you, when I sold out to it, and began to read it, began to study it, and figured out that it was telling the truth, it made a difference in me. And it'll do the same for you, friend. Job said, neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I've esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. Job said, I'd rather have the Word of God than to have my necessary food. That necessary food is what it's going to take for Job to live. Job said, I would rather read and have the Word of God than to have breakfast, lunch, and supper. I'd rather have it. It means more to me than what food is set in front of me. Job said, my flesh I can do without, but my inner man I cannot. That's what he's saying. You know, that's why when we fast and we pray, that's why God perks up a little bit. Think about it. When we begin to fast to get God's attention, He looks down and He says, they're going to give up something that is necessary. I've heard folks say, well, I'm going to fast off chocolate. I'm not going to eat no chocolate. Bless your heart. God really smiled on that. Well, I'm going to give up Coca-Cola's. You need to do that. I mean, if you want to, listen, just realize, you say, preacher, you're so far away, and I am, and listen, I'm struggling with that thing. You can ask my wife, I struggle with eating. You know why? My flesh likes to eat. My flesh likes to eat. Even Brian's caught me down there at the pizza place. Down in Delano. We're over there eating over there at the pizza place. You know, all you can eat for $9 and get a drink. And I can't go in there. I should not go in there. I just shouldn't go in there. I mean, if you know you've got a problem with something, you probably ought to stay away from it. So, preacher, you're crazy if you think pizza. Listen, that's a problem for me. But you know, God, when He sees that we're willing to give up that bologna sandwich too, and that bag of tater chips that we've took to work with us, because we want to get His attention, because there's something important that we need to pray about, and we're willing to mortify our flesh and get it under control. We're willing to rob our flesh so that we can get God's attention. I believe it does, friend. Amen. It's with the Word of God that we learn. It's with the Word of God that we grow. What was it? Was it Peter that said at one time that we may grow in the knowledge and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ? And I know I've preached on that. If you grow only in knowledge, you'll become legalistic. If you grow only in love, you'll become liberalistic. But friend, when we grow in knowledge and love together, then we can be somewhere where God wants us to be at. It's with the Word of God that we fight. We use it to fight. We use it to fight Satan, Matthew chapter 4. That's how Jesus and that defeated Satan that day out there in the wilderness. And that with the Word of God. Three times He said, as it is written. Remember he said when He was hungry, He came out there and the devil did. And said, turn these stones unto bread. And Jesus come back with the book of Deuteronomy. And He said, it is written, thou shalt not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. He done that three times and said, it is written, it is written, it is written. You know how you're going to defeat Satan? With the Word of God. You know how you're going to defeat your flesh and mortify your flesh? The Bible.
Amen.
The Bible. Your flesh is going to be drawn away. And it's going to be with the Bible and the Spirit of God that is inside you that's going to keep you where you need to be. James 1 said, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. He said, we're drawn away of our what? Own lust. Our flesh is drawn away of its own thing, of what it wants to do. And then he said, it's also enticed. I believe the world can entice us. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. Sin when it's finished, bringeth forth death. So it is the Bible that helps us. It is the Bible that strengthens us. Psalm 119, my soul melteth for heaviness. Strengthen thou me according unto thy word. It's the Word of God that strengthens us how to be able to overcome our flesh. And by the way, let me say this. The devil knows how to push your buttons. He knows what your flesh likes. He's not omnipotent. He don't know everything. But I'll tell you what, he'll start pushing on your buttons until he'll find something that'll work if you'll let him. But it's by the Bible that I find strength. It's by the Bible that I find comfort. It's by the Bible that I find direction. The psalmist said, he said in Psalms 119, I will delight myself in thy commandments which I have loved. The law of thy mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver. He said, I love the word of God. Psalms 119:72, he said, it's better than thousands of gold and silver. Psalms 119 and verse 97, oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. You know how to keep your flesh under control? Word of God. He said, I hate and abhor lying, but the law do I love. You know why you don't read your Bible? One, because your flesh don't want to. You know why when I don't read my Bible like I should? Because my flesh don't want to, but it knows us. That book knows us. The Word of God is quick and powerful, sharpening two-edged sword, piercing divine soul and the spirit, and the joints and the marrow, and is a what? And is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. That's why you don't want to read it. That's why you don't want to be guided by it. How long halts you between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow Him. If Baal, then follow Him. The people answered Him not a word. I'm telling you right now, He said, no man can serve two masters. Here, love one, hate the other, cleave one, despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. You can't do both. Joshua told children of Israel over there, he was fixing to leave out of this world. And in Joshua chapter 24 and verse 15, he said, if it seem evil unto you, serve the Lord. Choose you this day whom you'll serve. Whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the God of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. He had made his mind up. So some of you are wishy-washy. Some of you you come to church, but man, you're just so wishy-washy about things. You ain't sold out to God. You ain't sold out to this book. You just ain't sold out. Hey, your life will go a lot better when you'll sell out to this book, friend. A book. You talk about that Bible. Hey, we are a people of a book. If we didn't have this Bible in front of us, we wouldn't know nothing, friend. It don't take long for it to slip either. If we quit reading, let's bow our heads across the house. Who's got control? Holy Spirit or you? Who's leading your home? Holy Spirit or you? Who's leading your life? Holy Spirit or you? What are you going to do? The choice. Brother Jeff, come up here and let's get a song invitation for us. You going to choose today? So, preacher, I've chosen. Listen, I hope so. I really do. And I know there's some of you in here serving God the best way that you know how and doing everything you can. Listen, we just need to stay as close to Him as we can. And that's in the Word of God. But does your flesh have control? You ever just been around people that their flesh is in control? They're doing things contrary to the Bible. They're saying things contrary to the Bible. But yet they profess to be a Christian. They say something wrong. As the Scripture said at one time in the book of James, these things ought not to be. I want you to know something. The Lord is very pleased when we let Him have control of our life and follow Him and not our flesh. Most of all, this morning, if you're lost without Jesus, I want you to know He'll save you. Quit letting your flesh have your way this morning and come and trust Him. For He wants to save you. He wants to save you. He wants to come and abide with you. He said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will hear my voice and will open the door, I'll come in and sup with him and he with me. Not only does He want to come and abide with you, He wants to come and fellowship with you. He will do that if you'll let Him. Heavenly Father, we come to You this morning. I pray You'll help in this invitation. you know, folks' needs, you know, hearts, you know, Lord, those that are serving you with their whole heart, those that are struggling in the flesh. But there may be some here today that have they're just serving their flesh altogether. And they're not serving you. Lord, you know hearts in here. And I know how much better it goes, just from personal experience, alone from reading my Bible, that how much better it is when we're serving you with a whole heart and a full heart. And I pray that you'd help those this morning. They stand halted between two opinions. They're struggling right now to serve you and serve their flesh, to be faithful to you or to be faithful to their flesh and pamper their flesh. Pray that you'd move in this invitation. Help right now for these things in Jesus' name. Amen.